up, everybody? It's Sam with the Rowdy Alternative Podcast. Today we're with Niles from Shaker Hymns. How are you, man?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good, dude. Been keeping busy out there playing shows and everything?
Trying to stay busy, man. It's that's how I make my living, so I got to stay busy.
Right on. So, where are you based out of? Like, what? Where out there? And is it Texas or Oklahoma?
That's Texas. I'm in San Marcos, which is it's right in between New Braunfels and Austin, or kind of like smack dab in between San Antonio and Austin, really.
Okay, cool. So when you guys, I guess let's just start at the beginning, man. For those who don't know, Niles is a frontman for Shaker Hymns, a great band out there. Good, Red Dirt, Texas band. If you're into that, they're good. I think they're one of those bands that are definitely going to pop here soon, like big time. And, so I guess let's start at the beginning, man, just to get familiar with you. I guess, when did you guys, form? When did the band get together? How'd that all happen?
We've been together, since 2015 is when we started. We were all in college and kind of trying to play with other bands and stuff. And I met our drummer working together. We worked at a Levi's jean outlet here in town. And I've been looking for a drummer for a while, asked him if he wanted to do it. And he said, yeah, he had been rooming with a guy that he's known forever, who ended up becoming our bass player. And we started that, like I said, in 2015. And we did every variation of a three-piece band all the way up to six or seven pieces at one time. And then we met our guitar player probably 2 years after we started our band. And I think he's been with us since 2018 or so. So it's been a while that we've been together, but, you know, despite all of it, ups and downs, we've made it work. And at the root of it, we all love music so much that we don't have any other choice but to keep playing with each other.
Right on. So I guess around then, 2015, when you guys were first, you know, starting to do the thing, what was the music scene like around then? Were there any people that you looked up to, like in the Texas area, or any peers that you kind of had mentor you or anything?
Sure. When we first started, that was right around the time that the Turnpike Troubadours had really popped. Like they kind of took off in 2012, 2013, and that was right when we were getting out of high school. And Turnpike Troubadours and Whiskey Myers were like really taking off at that time around 2015 when we started. So we looked up to those bands a lot. There's a lot of songwriting influence from Turnpike, and a lot of our live show, we got a lot of influence from Whiskey Myers, being able to be, you know, energetic and kind of rock in throughout a set to keep people entertained. But other than that, man, we've really kind of taken a lot of our inspiration from older stuff. I don't even know if there a lot of the people that we'd like to be like are still alive.
Yeah, man,
we're big old rock and roll fans and old country stuff. But we've had a lot of opportunity through all the stuff that we've done to meet some really cool people, and have a great mentor and a guy named Larry Joe Taylor.
Yep.
He's got a festival out in Stephenville, and I've got acquainted with him through our songwriter. He has a songwriter competition or a showcase. It's not a competition. I always mess up. It's a songwriter showcase. And I took part in it back in 2019. It's when I met him, and he's been great. It's such a hard industry to learn and navigate. So being able to have people like him or, another big one has been William Clark Green. We've been really lucky to become friends with him, and having people like that who have kind of done it already, be able to steer you this way or that way, or help you out a little bit. It makes all the difference. 'Cause as a young band, you're constantly getting beat up, and, you learn to take it on the chin and ask for more. And like I said, having those older guys around has been nothing but great, and we can't thank them enough.
Yeah, man. And it's funny you bring up, William Clark Green. I was just thinking the other day, if there was like anyone that, because he's been around for a while now, you know, so like if there's anyone that I feel like just never got like the recognition that they really deserved, like he's at like the top of the list, man. Like he has every single song he has is like a banger. And like, I feel like he's obviously like made a name for himself, but like, he's one of those guys who like, he just deserves to be like right at the, like Mount Rushmore almost kind of.
Yeah. I agree 100%, man. You know, through the whole Texas funnel and channel, like growing up, it was Randy Rogers. And then after that, Turnpike with their Oklahoma, but like I said, Turnpike, Whiskey Myers, were the big ones. And Will Green was right in there. And I remember listening to Rose Queen, that entire album, when I was, I mean, probably right when it came out. And being a young songwriter, it was hugely impactful to me to hear someone that was writing songs like that. Because up to that point, it was really just kind of the hits that I had heard from other artists, which there's nothing wrong with a hit. I mean, they're actually great financially. But when you start getting into some of the deeper cuts and you start hearing that these writers are kind of pulling the curtain back and letting you see into their lives, that was hugely inspirational to me. And I can't agree with you more about Will Green. I think he should be way more appreciated than he is.
Yeah, man, for sure. And you were mentioned before, like kind of how what was popping off around when you guys got started, and you mentioned Whiskey Myers, you know, a rock and roll band. And obviously you guys take a lot of rock and roll influence in your music. Would, if you had to put your guys in like a certain genre or a camp, like what would you call your sound?
Our Shankerham sound is, we've had this conversation so many times. I think our biggest problem is that we don't know how to market ourselves because we're so all over the place. We love just music in general. If I had to pull it into one, we call it roots music or Americana, because everything that we do derives either from the blues or from some kind of root based music. And a lot of it is American influenced. Blues is a huge one. Country is a huge one. And then rock and roll is a huge one.
Yeah.
And so that whole umbrella, it's tough, but yeah, I would say Americana or roots. If I had to, if someone had a gun to my head, that's what I would say.
Yeah. And that's the thing, especially in a scene like you guys are in, and like, it's a really cool time right now for it, because there isn't like, if people think of like Texas music, if someone not from Texas, they'd be like, okay, so like country. But truth is, sure. I mean, the shit that's popping off right now, like, it's rock. It's like you were saying, like, it's rock. There's grungy stuff coming out. Like, it's all different. There is no, like, you can't really put a label on the Texas scene. And I think that's like the coolest thing about it. And then when a band like you guys come and play, like, it's like, it's good not to have, I think, a label. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be completely honest, man, genres are just, I think, one of the worst things about music, you know, trying to classify something, especially for younger artists. When you start talking about genres, like, don't get me wrong, I love what would be considered pure country music. Like, that's one of my favorite styles of music. But as a younger artist, if you're thinking, I want to, you know, maybe do this, but I also kind of like Metallica, you can get kind of forced into, and people have even told us from the beginning, like, hey, at some point you're going to have to pick a lane or a direction. Yeah. And I think that's just like the antithesis of creativity, man. You kind of just want to do what feels good and what you like doing. And so, yeah, genres, I'm not a huge fan of that whole categorization thing, but it's necessary. And that's another thing that I have to constantly remind myself, is that like, music is such a big part of my life. It's how I make my income. It's how I pay my bills. It's how it's literally everything that I think about from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed. But for the majority of the population, that is not the case. Music is an outlet, you know, something for them to kick their boots off at the end of the day and hang out with a cold beer. So they're not thinking about it in that way. So in that aspect, genres can be helpful for people to, you know, kind of find what they like. But for artists and creativity, it's such a hindrance, I think.
Yeah, for sure. The thing with it, and I'm sorry, I was kind of messing with my microphone here. I was moving around a bit. That's my bad. The coolest thing about a band too is that, and really an artist, like a regular artist, but like having a band, it's cool to see which direction you go to, and like you gel with the guys you're in there with, and the creativity with it. It's like, do you, when you think about, all right, this next album or this next song, we want to go this route with it, want to make it different, like progress to something else. Is that something that you guys just naturally do? Or is that something that you like have to consciously think about, like, okay, I want to sound like this? Or is it just something that happens?
I think it's probably a combination of all of it. For our band, I'm the primary songwriter, so I'll take a kind of influence from everywhere. Songs, sometimes you have to go out there and really work for them, and then sometimes they just come to you. And I think at the end of the day, what we try to do is when we get the song, you hear it kind of a certain way or maybe in a certain style. Once that has been achieved, we always first try to honor the style, if that makes sense. So like, well, if we're doing something kind of in the funk realm or in the you know, soul realm or something like that, we will kind of berate ourselves with, you know, Al Green or Otis Redding or something like that. Not to mention, we listen to that stuff all the time. But if we're like, hey, you know, let's kind of get more for this song, it needs something more like that, we'll kind of go pull elements from all that old stuff. And then once that's kind of done, we'll flip it on its head and say, well, is there anything else that we need to add or anything else we need to take out to kind of make it more of our own thing? But I'm a big believer in like honoring the old guys, you know, like, so all those old records they're so important to us because it kind of led us to where we are now. And that doesn't mean like you have to, you know, copy and paste what anyone's doing, but it's a really, really big compliment, I think, when someone says, man, that song sounds like Al Green or something. To me, I'm like, that's awesome. That's what we're going for. So great. And you always want to be yourself with it, you know, but the thing is, no one in the world plays like Shaker Hymns just because of who we are. Just like nobody plays like Whiskey Myers. Nobody plays like Turnpike. Those guys have all developed their own sounds because of the individuals that they are and the background, every life experience that, you know, whoever has had has led them to be who they are. So as try as we may, we're never going to be Al Green, but if we can do stuff like that, we're never going to be Lynyrd Skynyrd or Led Zeppelin, but we can take influences from those songs and then we get in a room and hash it out the way any band would. And it ends up coming out like a Shaker Hymns song. And that's kind of been our process the entire time. We never sit and say, hey man, we have too many country songs, let's go write a rock song. It's very, very organic. It's hey, this is the song I have, and it's kind of lending itself more to the rock. Like, let's do that thing with it. Or this is a song I have, and I kind of feel like we should maybe make it soft and you know, sweet or whatever. And then those things lead themselves to each other. And it's all spent in a loud room most of the time is how we do all of our stuff. We get together in a loud room and we hash it out until it feels right or it feels good.
Awesome, man. And you mentioned earlier the primary songwriter for the group. Is that like all the time, or is there ever like a group effort with the songwriting?
A little more on our last album, our last release, there was more co-writing within the band. We spent a couple weeks out in Stephenville doing it. And so the last week that we were there, we had 4 or 5 songs, I think, that weren't finished. And we'd finish in the studio, and then I would take the band, drop them off at a bar, and I'd go back to the hotel and write. And a lot of times they'd come back and I'd say, well, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? And then they kind of started adding in their own little take on it, which was really cool. Cause for the most part, I had done all of it before. There was only one other co-write I think that I'd had on our first album, but having another other voices come in was cool. And I always encourage people to write. It's one of my favorite things to do, but it's such a great expression form. And so it was really cool. As far as the music stuff, it's pretty collaborative. I'll come up with like what would be called the structure, the bones of the song. And then we'll get in a room, and that normally lends itself to like influence where will the magic starts happening, I guess. So you say, hey, instead of this part, let's add in this guitar part or that guitar part. And that's all super collaborative. And we try to keep it that way. I think everyone having their own little taste makes it what it is.
Hell yeah, man. That's awesome. Where do you guys record at?
We've recorded both of our albums up in Stephenville at the Melody Mountain Ranch Studio. Josh Serrato and Ben Hussey.
Mm. He's a dog.
Oh, man. Yeah, that guy's a... I don't even have the words. He's so good.
Yeah, he's... Yeah.
Well, he's with Co now, ain't he? Up there. What's that?
He's with Co now, ain't he?
He is, yes. Okay. He played with Will Green for the longest time. And we met... We actually kind of got that whole... network through the LJT stuff that I had mentioned. Larry connected us with Josh at the studio. And then we got, Larry actually connected me with Will, for Cotton Fest back in 2019, I believe it was, for like some acoustic stuff, but that whole network was built from that. But we recorded there. We're kind of in the process of thinking about a new album, so we're kind of feeling out studios right now. We loved working with Josh and working at Melody, but we've done two albums there now, so we're kind of like, man, maybe let's just try something else, just cause, like, why not? You never know, you know. And we also had to travel out there, which was tough. We, you know, we spent a lot of money on hotel rooms and pizza buffets.
That's funny. So when you do write, more on the songwriting side of, you know, just like mainly, what do you have a certain method to, how you do that? Like, I hear like all these different ways that artists, you know, sit down, they lock themselves in the room, they're driving, all these different things. Do you have a certain way you do it?
All of the above. I feel like I'm constantly writing. I mean, my notes app on my phone is just, ridiculous place. Like, there's so many just random lines, or, you know, I'll get drunk and put something in there and then find it 2 weeks later that I don't even know what it means. But writing all the time, really. What I'll do is I'll kind of compile a bunch of things, and then when it's really, really time to buckle down, I'll sit down and kind of hash out what I think is good or what I don't think is good. Always writing melodies, always, you know, picking up lines from wherever. And then when it comes songwriting time, I'll, you know, sit down with a guitar and kind of really whittle down what I think needs to be there, what doesn't. But it's it's all over the place. I couldn't say that there's one method or not. I wish there was. It'd make it a lot easier.
Yeah, man. That's funny. Back in July, your album, The Highway and the Boulevard, dropped. First off, I just want to say, great album. I loved it. That's the first I've heard of you guys, actually, was when that came out. So I was really impressed, man. And were you happy with the reception once it came out? Were you happy with the release?
Yeah, I think it did. It did for us something really cool that we didn't really expect with our first album. There was a good amount of buzz around it with the songwriter stuff. We got really kind of slowed down by COVID. We were set to release our first album the spring break of COVID, and COVID hit. And so we kept pushing it back. We lost a lot of buzz with that. After that, we were battling through COVID the entire time. And then our second album, we released it kind of really on the tail end. Like, I don't think things have gotten back to normal until this year. I think there was still, like, shows kind of started happening late 22, I believe, and throughout 2023, and people were going back, but I hadn't really seen it the way that I've seen it until this year. I feel like venues are filling up again, festivals are filling up again, which is really exciting. All that to say, with our second album, we were able to kind of really solidify the standard of things that we want to do. The first album it's all over the place. There's a lot of different variations of style, I guess. Mm-hmm. Second album, we were able to keep that MO, whereas I think some people might have thought that we'd lean more one way, more country or more rock or soul or whatever. But it really solidified that we are going to do things the way we want to do, and I think people picked up on that. I don't know that it hurt us, but it could have been a little detrimental in the sense that the people that were the pure country guys that were like, we want y'all to lean more country, they might have fallen out of taste with us because we didn't do that. Yeah. Same thing with the people that like more of the rock stuff or, you know, whatever. But if those fans were willing to, you know, stop listening to us because of that, that's okay with us. Because what we want to do is make music for people that like listening to music. And at this day and age, everybody's listening to, if you look at anyone's iPod, no one's listening to just country. You know, there's everything from Peter Pan to Post Malone on everybody's iPad. You know, it's like all over the place. So as a band of guys that listens to all that stuff, we just decided that's what we're going to do. And so the second album, I feel like, really solidified that. And now the batch of songs that we're talking about going to do for our third has been exactly the same. We met with a producer the other day and showed him some demos and stuff. And he was like, what the hell, man? y'all are all over the place. But he loved it. It was great. But we were like, yeah, you know, we've just decided that we're not mega famous. So we don't owe anybody any, even if we were mega famous, we wouldn't change, but we don't owe anybody anything. At this point in our careers, we are legitimately making music for the love of it. So there's no point in us trying to alter what we're doing other than to try to be better. That's the only thing we alter. We change things because we want to be better. We don't change things to appease, you know, a crowd or anything like that.
Yeah. And I think that separates a lot of artists. Like, it shows who, like, is actually, like, in it for, like, that purpose, is when they do progress. And, like, you may hear some, like, critics and whatnot, but, like, it doesn't matter. Like, if you're pulling it off, you're pulling it off. You know, it's your music. Yeah. And, like, yeah, that's the coolest thing about that. Also, the artwork is sweet, dude. I don't know if there's, like, meaning behind that, but, like, that was some dope-ass cover art.
I appreciate it, man. We've had a kid. I say he's a kid. He's not a kid. I met this guy when he was in high school. He's my my best friend's brother-in-law. We used to go out to their ranch property all the time. And I remember meeting him. It was like a probably 14 or 15-year-old kid. And he was great at drawing and all that stuff. But he ended up going to school where he's, you know, an adult now. But he's great. The meaning behind the artwork, the entire album is a concept album. We kind of dropped the ball on promoting it that way. We've always been rushed through everything we've done, and we've always had no money doing it. So we didn't necessarily promote it the way we should have, but it's a concept. So, like, from song one to the end, it's a storyline. Mm-hmm. That picture is what would be considered the main character of the album, the girl. Yeah. Awesome. She finds herself in some tricky situations, for sure.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's sweet, dude. Really, really good. I love concept albums, man. And that's something that, like, I feel like you don't see that much anymore. But when people do them, like, you know what I mean?
Everyone's worried about singles. And their singles are great. I do love singles, because I think singles can, like, pardon the pun, but single-handedly change an artist's career. Like, this singles can legitimately change the landscape of an artist's career. So they are important. And the thing about singles is that you can really kind of pitch to the masses where you're going, like where you're headed. Mm-hmm. But albums have always been my favorite thing. I love concept albums too. I will say, after writing this concept album, it will be a very, very long time, if ever, that I attempt to do it again, because it is extremely stressful to tie up all the loose ends towards the end of it.
Yeah.
Trying to make everything fit and make sure that the storyline and all this, you know, kind of goes together. But concept albums they're so much fun, because as a writer, you want to be intentional and direct with the storyline, and you want that storyline to kind of exist in its universe. But at the same time, you want every single song to be able to stand alone if it would be listened to on, you know, someone's iPod. Like, if someone goes and listens to the entire album from start to finish and they get the story, I love that. But if someone only picks three or four songs because they don't know that they're connected, but they listen to those songs, I'm still all about that too. So as a writer, it's very fun. And extremely stressful to do that. But
yeah, yeah. It seems daunting.
It is for sure. And I don't know why that ever came into my head. I'm a huge fan of the Redheaded Stranger album, the Willie Nelson album.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I had been listening to it a lot, and I wrote this song that's not even close to a Willie Nelson style song, but I'd written this song called Prayers. And it was the first time where I'd really, really experimented with creating characters. And one thing that I've learned through novel writers is a lot of times they have they might even have stories about the characters in their books that they don't put in the books because it's the development, getting to know those characters on a really deep level. So I'd written this song. It was the first time I'd really delve deep into trying to create a character and understanding that character on a very deep level past the surface of what the listener would understand. And so when I wrote that song, I was like, man, this is really cool. And I feel like I'm really kind of attached to this character now, this girl that I've created up in my head. And it was the song was about a girl, but it was told from the perspective of this other character who wasn't necessarily me either. It's told as a first person, but it definitely wasn't me. It wasn't something I had experienced. And so then I really fell in love with the idea of these two different characters. And I did, a lot of work to kind of understand both of them and create them. And then after that was when I decided, okay, I got to do a concept album now, because I've already created this entire universe in my head and where these people, how they know each other and how they interact. So now I have to create this entire album. So that's where the whole thing came from. But it all came from that one song, Prayers. And it was, like I said, stressful, but so, so fun and so worth it.
Right on, man. So, so what do you guys got anything new coming up, anything down the pipe ready to put out there, or what's that looking like?
Yeah, we're working on, like I said, we're working on trying to get to the studio for some new stuff. Don't know how long it'll be. We're shooting for end of this year, maybe beginning of next year, maybe start releasing singles in the fall, but only time will tell on that. We have a good batch of songs that we really like. That's another thing. We're always coming up with new stuff. I write all the time. And so we get into the habit of, sharing songs with each other all the time. We're always working. So there's always new stuff coming out. That can also be tricky, because with new stuff, you're like, well, man, now this is my best song. Screw all the other songs that I wrote, 2 weeks ago. But those songs can still be good. And so you kind of got to give those a life to live as well. So we're like I said, we're trying to get to the studio. We'll be staying busy on the road as much as we can, but it's just a machine, you got to keep feeding it. And so that's what we'll keep doing as long as we have to, as long as we can.
Nice. So do you have any cool dates coming up, with your touring, any cool festivals, anything like that?
Yeah, we'll be doing some stuff with Will Green here in July. We're doing a show with him out in the House Pasture in Concan in a couple weeks. We'll be down in Corpus as well with Slade Coulter. And then we'll be doing some headlining stuff in Houston and Lindell and all over the place. We love playing with bigger acts. So that's our cool things. We love headlining too. But it kind of gets murky because we stay so busy. I mean, I play at this point right now, I'm playing 5 to 6 days a week.
Jesus.
Between full band and acoustic stuff.
Man.
And our full band stuff is normally 2 to 3 days a week. So it's hard to keep track of everything that's coming up the pipe. I kind of got to look at my calendar one day at a time.
Just stay busy. We'll chalk it up to that.
That's right, man. That's right.
Awesome. Well, Niles, thanks. It's kind of funny. I was looking down here at the timer on this thing. And
it says 4 minutes. I was like, there's no way, man.
There's no way. I'm I looked down and now it says 13 minutes for me. I'm like, I know we've been talking for more than 13 minutes.
Yeah.
I was just, I don't know if it, but we'll see how it goes in post there. We'll be all right. Don't worry about
it. Yeah, man. I apologize for phone calls.
You're fine, dude. I think this is more of the software issue. I don't know. But either way, we're good to go. If you want to throw any plugs out, like socials, anything like that, where people could find you, go ahead.
Yeah, man. Everything, like the best place to find it all is ShakerHymns.com. But we're at ShakerHymns Band or at ShakerHymns on all platforms. Shaker like salt shaker. I always tell people it's a shaker like a salt shaker, and then hymns like a church hymn, HYMNS, which is silly because no one ever knows our name. We've been called everything from shake your hands to shake your hips and everything in between. But yeah, ShakerHymns.com is the best place to find everything you need.
Hell yeah. Well, thanks a lot for hopping on. It was good talking to you.
Yeah, man.
I'm sorry about the weird technical difficulties. I don't know what that's about. Man. But
it's all good. But, I'm sure it'll work out. Everything, these things normally do.
Yep. If not, we'll do it again in a couple months so we can have like a fresh start. You know what I mean? We don't have to do it the day after. But yeah, but yeah, guys, go check out Shaker Hymns. They're a great band out of Texas. They really are. It's exactly what you want to, what you expect, like a nice, fresh sound, I think. I like to call it. So, Niles, thanks a lot. And also, guys, check out Rage Rowdy on our website, Rowdy Alternative. We're on all the socials. Just give us a Google and you'll find us. So, thanks a lot, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next time. My boots look good on your bed. And I bet you can do some crazy things with those hips. Take it home now.